Good morning, Emmanuel, and welcome to our morning service today. A particular welcome if we have any visitors worshipping with us, and greetings to those who will be joining us later via the website. For whatever reason it is you're listening at home, we do hope that you will enjoy the service and feel uplifted by it. As a church, we meet as Emmanuel with Highworth United Reformed Church and as a member of the Old Town Partnership of Churches. In terms of our service this morning, it's being led by a good friend of Emmanuel, the Reverend Mark Barrett. Thank you again, Mark, for being with us. The Bible reading this morning from St. John's Gospel will be given by Glenys Walker. I was going to say I'm pleased to say there are no notices other than the weekly news, but there are. So I disappoint you. I've got three additional notices. Firstly, Liz Gleed will shortly be preparing a fresh rota for those who do the Bible reading Sunday by Sunday. If this is something which you feel able to do, do please have a word with Liz. It really would be good to have one or two fresh names to the list. So, volunteers for Bible reading, have a word with Liz Gleed. Secondly, it cannot have escaped your notice, we are in Christian Aid Week. And you all have, or should have received, envelopes like this one. If you would like an additional copy of an envelope, an additional envelope to take home to neighbours, friends, family, do please have a word with Lindsay Miller. She's got quite a large supply and would be glad to offload them. Do please see Lindsay after the service. Finally, the third notice, and apologies, it was missed out of the weekly news. It was a very full news sheet and not enough space for it. But this coming Tuesday is the second Tuesday of the month. And some of you know exactly what that means. It means it's tea and chat. So if you haven't been to a tea and chat on a Tuesday afternoon, the second Tuesday of every month, do please come along, feel free. We started about 2:30 and it goes on till, 4 o'clock-ish. But a good time is had by all over a nice cup of tea, biscuits, and if you're lucky, there might be a slice of cake. And now we will have a few moments of quiet as I light our Christ candle and peace candle and we prepare to worship God.
And so our call to worship. We are called to boldly share the good news of God's love. Let us open our hearts to the power of that everlasting love, that we may hear God's word to us and joyfully proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. Amen. Good to be with you once again to share on what I thought after yesterday was going to be a Sunday morning, but still, it's dry, so we've got to take it where we can. The choir's introit for the beauty of the earth will be reflected later on in their anthem, which Jeff says they thought they'd do something appropriate to remember and celebrate David Attenborough's 100th birthday. So, about all he's done to enlighten us about the planet, about God's love, the creation around us. And so, they're going to sing later, Pleasure It Is to Hear the Birdies Sing by a Modern Composer. That's what I was told. So, it's a joy to celebrate that creation, someone who's brought it literally into our living rooms and made us aware of the wonders of God. So, we shall look forward to that. Thank you. But we're going to begin by singing about the glory of God. In 289, to God be the glory, great things he has done. So let us pray. Lord our God, we come before you with grateful hearts. We lift our voices to you, aware of your greatness, aware of your glory, aware that you are holy, you are faithful, and you love us with a love we can never fully comprehend. You are constant. You are near. Your presence brings peace to our very being. Your mercy brings freedom, and your light shines in the shadows of our lives. We praise you, for you are worthy, because of who you are, our Creator, our Redeemer, our ever-present help. We come to worship Jesus, who spoke words of love and showed us deeds of kindness and generosity, and challenged how we would be. We come to acknowledge the gifting of the Holy Spirit that moves among and within us, that shapes us, that we may be the image of God to others. So we worship you. Be glorified in our singing. Be present in our praying. Be with us in the quiet places within. For this is for you, the glorious God we come to worship. And yet, as prophets of old who stood before your throne and realized their own shortcomings, so it is with us. We admit we have fallen short. We admit we have not lived up to what we offered, what we expected of ourselves. And so we come before you. Often we expect to be hectored and lectured, but that is not God's way. As Adrian Plass says, in those moments of our repentance, God calls us to him, lifts us up, sits us on his knee, puts an arm around us, and says, now what's all this then? And we tell, and we open our very soul to him. And in that confession, God knows our willingness, our desire to be all for him. And he tells us good news as we are there, that in Christ we are forgiven. We are cleansed, restored, and made new. And we may always walk in God's mercy and peace. So, restored, cleansed, and walking in the way of the Lord, let us share in the words of the Lord as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I've spoken before, though, about the inherent dangers of being a regular preacher, in that sometimes you just go a bit off beam as you're doing things. There's one or two hymn tunes that, as they're played, they remind me of TV themes or something. There is one which I'm not going to say what it is, but you know, I drift a bit. And the Lord's Prayer, because we're so used to saying it, is one of those things. Often I've been very grateful for fellow local preachers in the congregation who've led it quite sternly as I've faded away, because I've suddenly forgot the next two lines. Or, as I did at one church, managed to turn around and they had it painted on the wall, black on dark wood. And I managed to turn around and pick up from there. But as everybody's head was down, they didn't notice. What was on the other side, we'll come to later. But we are going to sing again. We're going to sing once more, 355. Jesus calls us, all the tumult. So we hear our word of scripture, and that will be followed by the anthem.
Our reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. It can be found on page 105 of the New Testament. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the word of the Lord.
As I said, I once cheated on the Lord's Prayer. Well, I often used to cheat because it's written in the back of the Methodist hymn book, so if I was really stuck, I'd use that. And there it was at his church, painted in black on a darkening oak background, which meant from close up I could read it, but up in a bit farther back it was a bit blurry. But on the other side was the Ten Commandments written up. I don't know if you know, but in America now, the home of the... Oh, it's not the Brave anymore, is it? So that's gone. Anyway, in America now, they're in certain states, the Bible Belt states, you know, the one where they use the belt to hit people with, the Bible Belt states, they're now starting to say that all schools have to have the Ten Commandments written up in them, as they were in the old days. Just at the same time as they bring back the old days by disenfranchising people of colour. So they're going to put the Ten Commandments back up in schools because that's what the children need to learn and to see, the Ten Commandments. And then they'll grow up Christians like those great Christian leaders, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Hesketh and Kennedy. At the bottom of this article, there was a comment from a British Christian. I can only assume that they phoned round many people to find them out, who said that it's something we should do certainly in all our church schools and ought to put them back on the walls of our churches. I know about journalists phoning up and round looking for a story. When I was in Cheltenham, I was sat at my desk working hard, as, you know, all clergy do. And a phone went. I picked it up and said, "Hello, this is so-and-so from the Cheltenham local paper, Advertiser," which is about as accurate as the Swindon one. And he said, "I wonder if I could trouble you to ask you a question about a story we were going to run." I said, "Yeah." He said, "You know that they're going to open a Ann Summers shop in the shopping centre?" I said, "Yes." Now, brothers and sisters, that's only because I've walked past it and saw the signs. I was not a subscriber, okay? I do have a DBS and have never been challenged on it. I said, "Yes, I know." I said, "What are your thoughts on it?" And I was a little bit perplexed then, because maybe he thought I was a clientele. But still, I said, "Why?" "Well," he said, "they're opening up a sex shop." I said, "It's not a sex shop." I said, "First of all, the front part of it, from the ones I've seen in Bristol, so I've walked past them on the way to the new room, praise the Lord, is all lingerie." I said, "You get that in Marks and Spencer's." I said, "You haven't phoned me up about Marks and Spencer's." I said, "All other items that you may be referring to are either at the back of the shop or upstairs, as I've been told." And he said, "So what's your feelings?" I said, "No problem at all. If it's something that enables a loving couple to enhance their relationship, then surely we can't say that's wrong." I said, "There's nothing perverse in it. You know, there's not men in raincoats wandering around outside. I've not seen them in the precinct, have you?" He says, "So you're not against it?" I said, "No." He said, "You're the eighth clergy of different denominations I've found, and I can't find one of them who stood against it, even the Catholic." And I said to him, "Well, doesn't that say more about your views of the church than our actual opinions?" "Yeah," he said, "but I've still got to find a story." No doubt he did. I could have given him a couple of names of the people who would have done that. But by putting up these Ten Commandments on our churches and in our church schools around, and putting them in front of you and in front of our young people, you know, like my grandson was here last week, I think, when he stood up to wave, he was looking for the Ten Commandments to see if they were there. Will that make them Christian? And do we need the Ten Commandments? We have the two commandments of Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew 22, "The greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with everything you are and have, and love your neighbor as yourself." John 13, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you." And John 14, as we heard, "If you love me, obey my commandments." You see, Matthew 22, where he says, "Love God with all you are and have, and love your neighbor yourself," it isn't a sort of shortcut round everything else. It's a summary of what everything else is. It's not as if we say, "Well, look, lads, Moses went up and only came down with 10. He thought he was doing well. I've done better. I've only come down with 2. I've knocked 8 of them off. Bit of a trial, but me and God had a word." It's not that. It's a summary. And he says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Hang on them. Doesn't mean to say that he's bypassing them. They hang on them. You take them away and they fall to the ground and they are buried in the dust. You see, love of God and of our neighbor, it's not a way of dodging all the others. It's actually the meaning of all the others, because they are the meaning of God's will. You see, if we say, yes, I believe in love, as Jesus says there, but it doesn't touch how we speak, how we spend, how we forgive, how we tell the truth, how we keep our promises, then we've turned love into a fading fog, like in the early mornings. If we say, I believe in those commandments, but our hearts are hard and our neighbours are unseen to us, then we've turned obedience into nothing more than a word carved in stone. Jesus gives us love with purpose, and he gives us obedience with a heart. John 13, the new commandment, sort of ups the standard a bit. It's the night before the cross. Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, love one another. And then the kicker, as I have loved you. If you go into one of Paul's letters where he says, wives, obey your husbands, right? I preached on this at somebody's wedding because she asked me to, because we discussed it as a house group and we taken it to its reality. It says, wives, obey your husband, and then husbands, love your wives as Christ loved you. And Christ loves us with an unremitting love, with a love that is so high, wide, deep, and everything that we cannot even get to the end of it. And that's what you're supposed to love your wife like. And also, it's self-sacrificial. And Jesus would never ask us to do anything that was demeaning, insulting, humiliating, belittling. That's what that love is like. But Jesus gets in before Paul, says, that love is you to everyone else. This is how I loved you. So much that I'm prepared to go to the nth degree to show and to share that love. That's how much you love one another. Now, Scripture's long commanded us to love, say in the Old Testament. But as I have loved you is the kicker. You see, Christ's love is a humble love, isn't it? Christ doesn't go around trumpeting it. Look at me loving people. Look at how I love. Whoa, look at that. Look at that. Doesn't go around saying, I've got £743 billion and I could solve world hunger and I could solve world poverty. What am I going to do? I'm going to build a rocket. Or the top three richest people could solve most all of the real issues in the world, but they spend it on vanity products and self, or on an abysmal film called Melania, which is just a sop to getting more tax breaks. That's not Christ's love. It's costly to us, the lovers, not the people we love. It's steady, it's faithful, it's willing to serve. I don't know if you watch 24 Hours in A&E. Sometimes it's on a bit of night. It's sort of our go-to-bed thing, you know, just as you're relaxing with a cup of coffee and going to go to bed. We watch things about people's bodies being ripped apart and things. So, you know, ordinary thing. Well, there's, you know, no CSI or any murder thing on at that time of night where they solve it in an hour and somebody's been dismembered in the first 10 minutes. You know, where'd you get your fun then? The number of people there whose love for each other brings you to tears. And it brings you to tears not because they are any more loving than you, but because it resonates in you. Whether it's with a grandson, a son, a daughter, a granddaughter, a relative, a husband, a wife, or a good friend. There's one with two blokes who have been really good friends for 60 years, and one of them has a heart attack and the other one gets in the hospital. The love between those blokes as friends was overwhelming. But it's the resonance in us that brings it. What brings us to tears isn't that they're so much better than us. It's that we know we'd be like that. Because we love as Jesus loves us. And then Jesus says, as we heard in the reading, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love and obedience are joined, not as a yoke around your neck, but as wings that set you free to fly. We obey not so that God will love us, because brothers and sisters, we'll never get there. We'll never. Ten commands, put them up there. I've broken all ten. I've broken all ten. Jesus says, if you look at another woman and think, oh, then you're done. As I said, I once preached out at my first church and said, every person who watches Baywatch in the Pamela Anderson days, every person who male watches Baywatch has probably broken that commandment. My treasurer came up to me and said, what's this about Baywatch? I've never watched it. I said, go on, we'll watch it next Saturday, Peter. He did, and he came up to me on Sunday and said, I've broken that commandment. What about murder? If you call your brother Raka, fool, idiot. The hatred in your heart is like murder. Do not covet. I'll tell you the thing I really coveted. The thing I've, saw one the other day as well. Oh, dear. E-type Jag. I was in the prison at up in the prison at Doncaster, and parked next to my Fiat was a chocolate brown E-type Jag, and it was the prison psychologist. I thought, I'm in the wrong bit. I shouldn't go for the heart. I should have gone for the head. And she got in this car, and we drove together to the exit, and then we got on the road. And then I was the only one on the road because she just. I've always loved a knee type Jag. Could never afford it. Couldn't afford the tyres. Couldn't afford the service. Couldn't afford the insurance. Couldn't afford the divorce if I did buy one still. So, brothers and sisters, if we loved God only, if we obeyed Him, only become loved, we would fail. We know that. But actually, we obey because we are loved. Because God loves us. That's how we are in our relationships with one another, isn't it? We obey that command because we are loved. We do things for others because we are loved and we love them. So what does it lead us with the Ten Commandments? Nothing in the Bible says we need to display them. It only says you wear them close to your heart and close to your head. On phylacteries, we don't go around wearing those. As I told you before, the big row between Peter and Paul about whether we are Jewish or no. The ultra-Jews have them in their little boxes tied across there, so they're on their head, on their arms, so they're next to their hearts. We don't do that. But the Ten Commandments show us our need because they talk about the places where we could fail. They guide our love by saying, be careful of these things in your life. But you also, if you want to be really in time, you need to read the whole of the law to see where they fit in. And also you've got to realize that the Ten Commandments isn't God saying, you shall not, you won't do that. You won't commit adultery. What God's saying to you is, if you're a child of God, if you're part of God's family, if you're part of the love of God, you won't do that, will you? Because you love. And you love your neighbour as yourself. You'll do nothing to hurt them. So you won't steal from them. You won't covet from them. You won't take anything of them. You won't harm them. Because you won't. Because of love. If you like, it's like a newspaper. The law is the story underneath. The Ten Commandments, you can see, is the first paragraph. The headline are the two commandments of Jesus. And the headline you'd read is all about love. Let us ask ourselves two questions. Am I receiving God's love through Christ our Lord? Well, what do you think this is here for you today? Of course you are, because He's called you to dine with Him. And secondly, is Christ's love visible through me? It doesn't need to be written on the wall. As Jeremiah says, it needs to be written in our hearts. And that love, it will never fade. If you put it on the wall, they crumble, the varnish goes, the building alters. Even if you put it on a wall outside, it'll be weathered away. But if it's in our heart, not only does it become eternally ours, but it also becomes eternally everyone else's. because it is the way we are in all we do, all we say, all we are possibly ever going to be. And brothers and sisters, those are the commandments he gives us. Not that paint them on a wall, as if we'll have any difference at all. But to realize that Christ comes to us, to put them in our hearts and in our lives, to make our faith be real and practical and true. And that's what people will see. Not a wall. Because they don't need to walk through that door to see those words, to know of God's love. They just need to walk beside me and you. Amen. Jesus says in that reading as well that to be able to live in that way, we need the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, comes to us. And so we're going to sing number 294, Come Down, O Love Divine. Come to our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Father, we pray for the church, for the people of God. We pray that as we move about our world and our daily lives, we may show from within, in our words and deeds, in every aspect and action, that love of God that all need to know of. That joy of knowing that they are loved, that they are embraced, and they are part of something so much bigger, a family, that they need not feel lonely, outcast, they need not feel marginalized, because there is always one who loves them, a Christian who will walk with them, talk with them, and more importantly, listen to them. We pray, O Lord, for the church as an organization, that it will begin to turn its ways outward, not inward, even with reports of falling numbers and dire consequences for the future, that we would not look inward at ourselves, but as organizations look outward to those in need and to those who seek to know what love can do. We pray for our nation. We've just had local elections. We pray that whoever controls our local councils does so with a spirit of love. Naive as it may seem in a world of politics, whoever runs those councils, their attention needs to be drawn to the needs of those at the margins, of those at the bottom, of those struggling to be heard, to be seen, of those who need support and care and help. If only we could come to a place for all parties where dogma is set aside and people are put first. So we pray for our local councillors. Sometimes it is a thankless task. Sometimes it's almost an anonymous task. But we ask that they will see the need, that they are in a specific and powerful place to change. We pray for the situations in the world that are many and variable. As I've said before, where to begin and where to end. But Lord, as each comes on our screen, or across our newspaper, across our TV or computer screen, or on our podcast or news, may we pray for those situations that touch us. And may we look for those situations that are never spoken of. Wars and terrible problems in countries that no one seems to bother with. And yet all the people there are made in the image of God. We pray for our community of faith. We pray for the congregations of Bath Road, of Christ Church, and of Emmanuel, who in this lengthy partnership have shown the things they can do together, the things they can do individually, but the support they can give in totality to each other and to our community. We pray for those of our fellowship who are not with us at this moment for various reasons. And we pray for those we know, friends, colleagues, neighbours, but especially family, who may at this time be struggling financially, mentally, physically, spiritually. That if we are too close to be able to bring that healing, that someone will come. And they will be the answer to that prayer. So, Lord, hear what we say to you now. And take what we shall soon give to you. As we do all this in love of our Saviour Christ our Lord. Amen. The offering will now be taken. receive this day our offering, as we will soon receive from you your offering to us. For like your offering to us, this offering is given in love, for love, to be shown to all God's people. And as we will come to the table in a minute, we are asked not to approach the table of love if we have not love. So we are going to bless one another, that we come in love together as we share the words of the grace. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen. So we sing our communion hymn before 4:7. I come with joy to meet my Lord, forgiven, loved, and free. Lord God, you have gathered us here together that we may be made one in you, one in heart and mind, one in thought and deed, to serve you and do the will of your kingdom. We offer ourselves to you as we offer this bread and wine, as the grain is gathered from the fields to make one loaf, and as the grapes are gathered from the hillsides to make one wine. May we be one in you. Among friends gathered around a table, Jesus took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and said, "This is my body given for you. Eat it to remember me." Be with us, Lord, in the breaking of the bread in the breaking of our lives, in the breaking of our hearts, in the breaking of our hopes. Be with us, Lord, in the breaking, for you alone can make us whole. You are the bread of life. Let this bread be life-giving. Let this bread be a means of growth. Let this bread be for us strengthening, that in receiving this bread together, we may be one in you. At the end of the supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them and said, this cup is a new relationship with God, sealed with my blood. Drink it to remember me. Be with us in the outpouring. In the outpouring of the wine. In the outpouring of our hopes. In the outpouring of our troubles. Be with us, Lord, in the outpouring, for you alone can make us whole. Be with us in the outpouring as we receive this wine as our refreshment, so we may be one with you. Let this bread and wine be for our renewal. Let this bread and wine be for our joy. For in receiving of the bread and wine, we may be one with you. And as we receive and then eat and later drink together, we are one with one another and with God. As scattered grains make this bread, so we who take this bread shall be one in heaven and on earth. Amen. as the many grapes of the many vines come to form one cup. So when we drink together, we drink wine in the one glorious kingdom. Amen. The prayer after communion. Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life in our hands. Now we put ours in yours. Take us, renew us, remake us. No longer is what we have been as important as with you, what we can become. Amen. Including him. I'll go and get my hymn book. Sorry. Just 261. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Lord, you have welcomed us, healed us, restored us, fed and empowered us. Send us out to live and work to your glory. Send us out to reveal your presence. Send us out to proclaim your goodness. Send us out to declare your love this day and always. Amen.